20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
It's Pack-A-Day, your 24-7, 365-day-a-year Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is Saturday, June 1st, 2019. I can't believe I'm saying this right now. We're in June 1st, 2019. I'm Jake Turner at PackersTalk.com, and joining me is Mark Eckel, 32 years in the business and still running young and youthful. Mark Eckel. Mark, how's it going?
I'm good, Jake. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, we're going to get into a lot here today. We decided to really get into the nitty-gritty of what has happened. The great son of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and that was Bart Starr, passed away last weekend at the age of 85. And I can say this right now, I still believe that Packer fans are still mourning. I've been trying to check out the national radio a little bit, and Dan Patrick had on the great New York Times writer David Moranis on to talk about when pride still mattered. If you have not, and you are a Packers fan, I highly recommend that you read that book about Lombardi. He also talks about his time with Bart Starr as well. It was a great read. So
you don't have to be a Packer fan, Jake.
Oh, really?
That's the best book. Oh no, that's a great book if you're just a human being. I mean, it helps if you're a Packer fan, obviously, but that's the greatest book. I've read thousands of books in my life. That's the best book I've ever read in my life.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, as I'm recording this right now here for Pack-A-Day, 24/7, 365-day, your Pack-A-Day podcast, I look over to my bookshelf, and there is When Pride Still Mattered. And I remember it because my grandparents got me this book, and it's always just been a treasure to me. And, you know, reading the stories about Bart Starr, just an amazing read. If you have not taken a chance, take a look at it. All right, Mark, I know that you were a big fan of Bart Starr. You got to witness all this great stuff about him. You have a couple of stories, so let's get into it.
Well, let me start by saying, you know, I'm old. I'm not that old, but Bart Starr was my favorite. The first game I ever watched as a kid, I was like 6-7 years old, was the Ice Bowl.
Oh, man.
The first game, I mean, watch from start to finish. Because now, I think I've told you this before. My godfather, my Uncle Joe, actually knew Vince Lombardi pretty well from, you know, I grew up in Jersey, and my uncle was up in North Jersey. So he knew Coach Lombardi from St. Cecilia's and all that kind of stuff. So in my head, that's why I became a Packer fan living in New Jersey, was hearing him always talk about, you know, Coach Lombardi, Mr. Lombardi, this, you know, Vince Lombardi. So, you know, what do I know? I'm a little kid, right? So anyway, so the first game I ever watched is from start to finish with my father and my uncle is the Ice Bowl. And Bart Starr sneaks across for this winning touchdown. And it was, as a little kid, you know, Bart Starr is a pretty cool name. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, Bart Starr, he's a star, right? So I became, you know, Bart Starr became my, that was my favorite player. And, you know, that was, you know, then I became a sports writer years and years later. You know, Bart was already by the time I started writing sports, Bart wasn't really involved at all. His coaching career had ended, but he was still always like my favorite player. So anyway, let's fast forward to about it was after the Packers won the first Super Bowl. So I had to be like late 90s, maybe 98, I'm going to say, or so. And it's during the off season. It's like maybe July or August. Or no, it's way before that because the camp hadn't started yet. So it's probably like June. And my boss, I'm working in New Jersey. And my sports editor comes up to me one day or calls me and says, hey, I know you're kind of taking some time off now, but I thought you might be interested in this. Bart Starr is coming to Princeton to speak at some kind of dinner, whatever it was. But he's going to be available prior to that. You know, if you want to stay off, you know, don't worry about it. I'll get somebody else. Or we don't have, like, whoa, no, let me get nobody else. Ain't nobody else doing this. I'll go through the story on Bart Starr. So I'm a little, and again, I've covered so many things and I never get it. Yeah, but you're always worried. And I tell a lot of young writers this stuff too. Like, sometimes you don't want to meet your favorite player because you can only be disappointed, right? I mean, if you find out the guy you love is kind of a jerk or not the greatest guy that you hope he is, it's disappointment, right? I mean, so I'm nervous. I'm a little nervous. I'm meeting Bart Starr. And, well, let me tell you, I wasn't disappointed at all. I mean, he was everything that you've heard people say about him now that he's passed. Everything that you heard people say about him even before he passed is true. He was just the greatest guy. I had him. When the thing started, it was me, it was Bart, myself, and some radio guy that was there in Princeton. And then the radio guy was, you know, he did his radio thing, bang, bang, and he was in and out. So it was really just Bart and I for about a half hour. So we talked about everything. And I had to admit to him, I never do this, never ever in my career interviewing people. You know, turn the recorder off, and I just start telling him that, you know, about my uncle and how I became a Packer fan. He was like, oh, fan of Jersey, huh? I opened up to him, and then he was just tough. But I mean, like I said, you can a lot of times you can be disappointed. I wasn't hardly disappointed. I was proud to say that Bart Starr was my favorite player as a kid, and when I, you know, finally getting to meet him, it was an honor. And then I also told him this story, which is kind of he laughed at this, or he kind of remembered it, but I'm sure he does this a million times. But during the Eagles, and I guess it was Rich Kotite was the head coach, so it had to be like early 90s now. And Zeke Brakowski, who was Bart's longtime backup, was the Eagles' offensive coordinator. And as much as I didn't get along with Rich Kotite, I got along with Zeke very, very well. And Zeke and I would tell me old Packer stories, and he'd tell me about Lombardi and Bart and everything else a lot of times, just shooting the breeze and stuff. Well, for Christmas that year, one of my presents I got from a friend was a replica Super Bowl I jersey of Bart Starr's.
What?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's not the story.
That's not the story. Oh, so, gee. Well, let me just pin my jaw up here.
So it's the end of the season. Eagles aren't going to the playoffs that year. They're like 8-8 or whatever. And it's like a week to go in the season after Christmas. See Zeke, and I said, hey, guess what I got for Christmas? He said, what'd you get? I said, my friend of mine bought me a Super Bart, you know, replica jersey Bart Super Bowl I, blah blah blah. I said, oh, that's cool. He says, hey, he says, you know, as soon as we're done, I'm going to see Bart like in next week or so. He says, why don't you bring it in and I'll bring it with me. I'll Bart autograph it for you and bring it back and I'll mail it back to you, whatever. So I'm like, wow. Okay. So I bring it in. I give it to Zeke. Season ends. I don't know. 2 weeks later, I get this big package back in the mail and it's from Bart. The return address, it says Bart Starr. I open, there it is, and he signs it right on the 15. You know, to Mark, best wishes, Bart Starr. So that's like my prize. It's been framed and hanging over the couch in my family room and three of them everywhere I've been ever since I got to Jersey. So that's like a prize. So I told Bart about that. I said, you know, if you probably don't remember this, but, you know, I mentioned Zeke, and he said, oh, yeah, I do, you know, kind of sort of. I remember Zeke telling me about a guy. I said, well, I was the guy. But so there, that's my other Bart Starr story. And then I got to tell you, now this is kind of funny. So
go ahead.
This is when I'm still up north, but I move from one house to a different house, and I'm dating this woman at the time, and we're at the lunch. I'd already moved. I got everything put away now and stuff, and we're having lunch or whatever. And she says to me, "Hey, I found I saw a great painting that would look good in the new place," and she describes it to me, and I'm like, that sounds kind of nice. I said, but where would I put that? And she says, well, I was thinking you could hang it over the couch in your TV room. And I said, where the Bart Starr jersey is? And she says, yeah, right there. I said, but that's where the Bart Starr jersey is. And she says, well, I thought that was temporary. I responded, no, you're temporary. The Bart Starr jersey isn't going anywhere. And needless to say, that relationship didn't work out very well. And she was gone. And the Barstar jersey's still hanging over my couch. So, yeah, that's my Barstar memories. And just, like I said, probably one of the few, as great a player as he was, you know, two-time Super Bowl MVP, five titles, you know, he's probably, he was just as great, if not a greater person.
Man alive. That's a heck of a story. This is Pack-A-Day. You're 24-7.
I told you when we talked prior that I had good Barstar stories.
Oh, yes. I mean, we were talking about this. This is what we do on Pack-A-Day. We usually have a so-called production meeting, you know, a conversation for about 10, 15 minutes to figure out what we wanted to do. And I felt like, you know, bringing that nostalgia.
I didn't want to tell you before I told it. You know,
no, no.
I didn't want you.
And that's the best thing about it is, and that's the best thing about a radio interview is that you want to be able to, when you have on a guest or your co-host and they have this wonderful story, you don't want to know about it. You want to be just like the audience. I mean, I'm telling you right now, my jaw dropped a couple of times during that whole story. So thank you so much for bringing that up. That's an amazing story. And I'm glad that you actually have still that jersey hanging in the middle of your wall. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, it's been in, let me see.
For how many years?
This is the fourth place it's been with me.
The fourth place it's been. But it's always been at that middle of the wall.
In the same spot, over my couch.
Over the couch.
Across from my TV.
Over the couch. Boy, that has to be pretty amazing. Mark, what was your reaction when the news came down?
Sad, obviously, but also knowing that he had been struggling with his health for, mm-hmm. for, you know, quite a while now, it's a blessing. I mean, you know, you hate to see anybody, especially someone that you really admire, family member, whether it's someone like Bart Starr, you know, someone that you're a big fan of. You hate to see him suffer. You hate to see him not beat himself, you know. So, you know, the way I look at it, I mean, he had a great life. Not a good life, a great life. A great man. He's in a better place now, and now if the ball's on the one and God needs a quarterback sneak to win the game, he's got the guy.
Yep, and then he'll probably say at the end of that, let's punch it in and get the hell out of here.
Well, I hope he doesn't use the word hell, though.
That's what he said to Vince. That's what he said to Coach Lombardi on that fourth and goal. Even Chuck Mercine didn't even know what the play was. It was just Jerry Kramer, Bart Starr, and Vince Lombardi. So what a guy he was. I got a couple of good memories. You talked about how you could tell that Bart Starr's health was not going well, and there were two wonderful memories, and I have to go back to 2014, sweltering day in July, and 65,000 capacity are pretty much stacking up Lambeau Field. And you're wondering to yourself, what's going on here? Well, Brett Favre is getting into the Packer Hall of Fame at this point. And Packer fans haven't seen him for 5 years. This was something brand new. And after Favre was talking, suddenly we heard across that, we're like, ladies and gentlemen, we want you to look up at the Jumbotron. And there was Bart Starr right there. I had tears falling from my eyes at that point because you're watching two legends looking at each other. Favre looked up at Starr and went, oh my goodness. Like, he actually started tearing up as well, and that was a great moment. But when he came back for Favre's jersey retirement, it was the biggest surprise of my life because I remember I was sitting there. I was doing this kind of hokey kind of play-by-play thing. It was kind of the beginning of my career. And I was watching halftime. Rain is falling at Green Bay. And Favre, you know, is saying thank you and everything. Packers are in a tough game with the Bears. They lost that night. But when you saw that golf cart coming out, and there was Bart Starr, it was once again back to when Favre got into the Packer Hall of Fame, except right in front of his eyes. Favre looked like a five-year-old meeting his hero because he was like, oh, my goodness. Bart, what are you doing here?
One of the things I want to mention too, like, and I talked when that interview that I did with Bart, that night in Princeton, mm-hmm. I, you know, I mentioned how like almost everyone from that team, himself, Jim Taylor, who passed away earlier this year.
Yes, he did.
Paul Hornung, Willie Davis, Dave Robinson. You can go on and on. Herb Adderley, Willie Wood. They were all successful off the football field as well. They all did very. Max McGee started the
Chee-Chee's
restaurant franchise.
Chee-Chee's.
I mean, he made much more. Max McGee made a ton more money off the field than he ever made on. I mean, but all those guys did very well for themselves away from football at a time when most football players didn't. I mean, they didn't. It's not like today where they made millions just to start with. You know, they made okay. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have the endorsements like they did now. They lived a little bit here or there, you know, but nothing like, it's nothing like it is nowadays. So I said to him, like, what, you know, why do you think that was? And he said, Coach Lombardi. He said he instilled that winning attitude. And it's not just winning on the field, sure, but, you know, we won games. We won several games, championships, as everyone knows, but we won in life. He taught us how to be winners on and off the field. And you know, and I'm proud to say that we all, you know, I'm so happy that all my teammates did well and we all were successful. You know, we weren't just great football players. You know, we were, and we won our titles and, you know, all that, but we all did so well for ourselves away from the field. And that meant a lot to him. And I think he really appreciated me asking him that, you know, because everyone talks about, you know, the sneak against the Cowboys and winning mm-hmm. his first two Super Bowls and mm-hmm. winning all, you know, that, and everybody knows. And listen, I'm taking nothing away from all those accomplishments, but, you know, these guys all, if you look it up, they all did very well. Almost, I mean, I'm sure there's one or two that didn't, but I mean, most of, you know, all the big names, they did great. They all were successful businessmen, successful. Like you said, Max McGee started his own restaurant. It's amazing that when you could think Gary Kramer did well, as far as Greg became a coach, you know, and all that. It was an amazing group of players and men under one of the greatest in Lombardi.
This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast, 24/7, 365 day a year Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Jake Turner of PackersTalk.com. Joining me is Mark Eckel of BobMcGinnFootball.com. We're going down story time lane about the great Bart Starr, who died at 85 last weekend, to just really get a good nostalgic feel on what Bart Starr really truly meant. And I'm glad you brought that up because I'm currently in the middle of Jerry Kramer's book that was ghostwritten by the great late Dick Schaap. And he talked about how Lombardi was able to give that winning mentality to these players. He basically turned them from boys to men. When they got there in 1958, Lombardi was embarrassed. He could not believe, you know, what a mess this team was. And, you know, Lombardi was, Starr was just drafted out of the 17th round at this point. And then you watched them.
Think about that. 17th round.
17th round. Can you imagine that nowadays? Can you imagine 17 rounds right now? Yeah. Oh my goodness! No. I couldn't either.
But think about how deep in the draft that was. I mean, there's only rounds now, so really eight when you add in all the compensatory picks, it's really about eight rounds. All right, let's just say eight rounds. Starr might not even. I mean, even after you sign your undrafted guys, Starr might not even been signed. Think about that. 17th round.
And he came out of the University of Alabama, and he was coached underneath Bear Bryant. And I mean, geez, 17th round. Boy, you talk about how Lombardi got lucky on that one.
Yeah. I mean, when you said that, I had to jump in with that. I mean, 17th, not 7th round.
No.
17th. I mean, people talk about Tom Brady being a great pick in the 6th round, which he was, obviously. But this is 11 rounds after Tom Brady.
This was pre-Super Bowl times. Yep. That's one of my favorite moments.
If they still had 17 rounds today, and the draft started on Thursday night with the first round, and went Thursday, Friday, or would they gotten drafted until like the following Wednesday?
Exactly. All right, we're on day 7 here. Yeah, can you imagine that? Unbelievable. What were some of the books that really emphasized who Bart Starr was that you've read?
Well, there's a million. Well, like the one. Well, you mentioned the one When Pride Still Mattered, which is my favorite book of all time. But there's another one that a lot of people don't know about, and it's kind of a takeoff on When Pride Still Mattered, but this one's all about Bart. It's called When Leadership Still Mattered. I'm sure it's available. Go on Amazon or wherever you buy your books. You can find it. Mm-hmm. It's a micro version of Moranis' book on Lombardi, but this is all about Starr and what a leader he was. So if you're a Bart Starr fan, or if you just want him right now because of his past, catch up on him. I would highly suggest When Leadership Still Mattered. Like you said, both of Gary Kramer's books, Instant Replay and Distant Replay, that just sums up the whole Packer way of life, the way it was with that team. So both of those are excellent books about the Packers and Bart Starr.
I could not agree more. I have to take a look at that. You said there was another one that you sent me a picture of. What was it called? Run of Lombardi or something like that?
Run to Daylight.
Run to Daylight. All right, talk about that one.
That's the first book I ever read. I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. Again, my uncle. But that's mostly, I haven't read it in so long, but that was the old term. That was the Packers. That's what they're like. You know, like nowadays you call an offense West Coast offense, or the Rams had the greatest show on turf back in the day. You know, well, the Packer offense back then was considered run to daylight because they ran that power sweep. You know, you've seen the clip a million times. You seal it here, and you know, well, run to daylight was Lombardi's, mantra, I guess. You know, and That book kind of, if I remember, like I said, I read it so long ago, I still have it. But it was about that year when they lost to the Lions.
Okay.
The Lions beat them and beat them up pretty good. And the Lions had a linebacker named Joe Schmidt, who later became their head coach. As a matter of fact, I think when I was reading the book, he was their head coach at that time. But anyway, the Packers play the Lions a second time, and the Lions are feeling pretty good about themselves because they already beat them once. And again, I hope I don't get this stuff wrong, but Lombardi's whole thing was, all right, they got this guy Schmidt. He had a great game against us, blah, blah, blah. Well, we're going to run at him. And the Packers players were like, no, we don't want to run at him. We want to run away from him. No, you know, he's like, no, we're going right at him. That's their strength. We're going our strength against their strength. We're going to go right at him. And the Packers, I forget the numbers, but the Packers won the game easily, and they ran for like, I don't know, 200 and something yards in that game. Hoarding Taylor, they Schmidt did nothing the whole game. They just completely took him out of the game. So that's the crux of the book. But it's more than that. It's just all about that whole Packer offense and Lombardi and his style. And you know, you rarely beat him twice. Let's put it that way.
I got a question for you, because this is what I hear nowadays that kind of annoys me a little bit, because these two words I do not feel like really emphasize to Bart Starr was game manager. Mark, what do you think when you hear the words game manager describe Bart Starr?
No, way more than that. Unless you're saying it in the most ultimate compliment. I mean, Trent Dilfer was a game manager the year the Ravens won the Super Bowl.
That's right.
And then when I hear game manager, that's what I think. A guy like, listen, we have a great defense. We have a 2,000-yard back. Don't mess up, okay? and that's basically what Baltimore told Trent Dilfer to do in 2000, I guess it was, right? The year the Ravens won the Super Bowl. Like this thing, like, don't make mistakes. Don't worry if we have to punt on 40, you know, because our defense isn't going to give up any points anyway. Just give the ball to Jamal Lewis. When you have to complete a pass, you know, do it. Don't take any risks. Don't take any chances. No. That wasn't Bart Starr. Bart Starr still has the highest quarterback rating, postseason quarterback rating of any quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Yes, he does.
Includes Joe Montana and Tom Brady and anyone else that's ever, you know, all your other great ones. I mean, his quarterback rating is still the highest postseason quarterback rating. So that's not a game manager. That's a winner. If I had to use a word, two words to describe Bart Starr, it would be leader and winner. Because, again, the name of the book, When Leadership Still Mattered, it's all about what a great leader Bart Starr was. And if you talk to any of his teammates you know, that are still around, or even when they were, you know, Terry, you know, read Terry, like you're reading Terry Kramer's book. You'll see what his thoughts on Bart Starr. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk to Paul Hornung about him. You talk to Forrest Gregg or any of those guys. You know, they'll go on and on telling you that Bart, our leader, yes, you know. And just like you said, that last play, that quarterback, he went to the sidelines, said, let me sneak it in, boom. He goes out there, takes, you know, Chuck Mersin thought he was getting the ball.
That's
so,
right.
And instead, Bart keeps it and wins the game against the Cowboys. I mean, you know, the year before the Ice Bowl, when they beat the Cowboys in Dallas, they were losing that game.
Yes, they were.
Early. And he brought him back with touchdown passes. I think they either was it Boyd Dowler or Carroll Dale. I mean, no. Bart Starr wasn't a game manager. He was a winner and a leader. And I think Sal Palantonio from ESPN wrote a story saying what Bart Starr was one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the history of the game.
Oh man, I know it. No doubt about that.
And it's because when you're surrounded by great players, let's not take anything away from Hornung and Taylor and Dale and Dowler and McGee and that offensive line. Yeah, that was a great team, but he was the leader of that great team. And
that's right.
As great as that team was, if they had a different quarterback, they wouldn't have been as successful, obviously. And you know, sometimes I think, you know, Terry Bradshaw faces the same underratedness, I guess, if that's a word. You know, because people say, oh, well, he had Swan and Stallworth and Harris and a great defense, blah, blah, blah. But still, Bradshaw had to pull the trigger, you know? I mean, sometimes it's funny. There are some quarterbacks that get overrated, I think, because of what they've done and what they had around them. But, you know, I think Starr was vastly underrated. And Sal pointed that out in the story that he wrote for ESPN.
I've always been a big Sal Palantonio fan, so whenever he says something like that, I'm all for it. Mark, as always, here on Pack a Day, great stuff, and thank you so much for giving me and Packer fans a chance to really enjoy, you know, what it meant watching Bart Starr in real life, interviewing him, and that story I love about the jersey across the couch, great stuff. Love it.
Still there.
All right, Mark.
Visit. You'll see it, Jake.
Make sure you send me a picture.
Like I told that woman, that's permanent. She was temporary.
All right, Mark. We'll talk next time, all right?
All right. Take care, Jake. We'll do this again in a couple weeks.
All right. Sounds good. See you then. All right. That was Mark Eckel of BobMcGinnFootball.com. You can read all of his stuff on BobMcGinnFootball.com. Tweet him at MarkEckel08, or you can tweet me at Jake Turner Sport. Yeah, that was one of the things. Look, I'm 33 years old, okay? And I know that there are some young ones out there that want to say, oh, you're too young. You never saw Bart Starr play. Well, guess what? There's something here at the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting that I've learned, and that is research. And I have lost track how much game film I have watched of Bart Starr. I got the fortune one day on NFL Network to watch the Ice Bowl. Kirk Gowdy is in the booth, and I didn't know what to think. Because back then, I did think that Bart Starr was a game manager. Then I watched him on that final drive. And I know everybody wants to talk about him punching in the end zone. They win. They go to Super Bowl II. However, there was one play on that drive that showed the toughness of Bart Starr. And they even talked about it in America's Game, 1967 Green Bay Packers. And that was Bart Starr rolled out to his right. Now keep this in mind. It's 15 below out. The heater wasn't working. It was like being tackled on cement, as people were saying. Bart Starr rolled out to his right just to get a first down. He dives head first. For the first down, he talks about that game, and he says, it felt like I hit cement. And at that point in his career, he's trying to win the game for the Packers against the Dallas Cowboys and Tom Landry. And that's something that really just embraces it, of how tough he was. Because you know what? He got up, he dusted himself off, next play, let's go. And after that wonderful run by Bart Starr that got the first down, the Packers were able to win that game. It took a couple of downs, but they got into that opportunity because of Bart Starr. So if you have not had a chance, and I know you can find it, go find the Ice Bowl, watch that game, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Or if you have any other star memories, please tweet us at Packaday Podcast, at Mark Eccles 08, and at Jake Turner Sport. But as we said, Bart Starr may be gone, but he will be forever in our memories. And even as a 33-year-old man, I was proud that I was able to witness the greatness of Bart Starr, even if it was through game film. All right, that's it for Packaday. And as I said before, tweet us at Packaday Podcast. And the great three words in the dictionary of the Green Bay Packers is go, Pack, go. Thank you so much for joining us on this special edition of Packaday, and we will see you next time. This was the Packaday Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. We're all over the internet. And have yourself a great one.
Champ to Wild.
Oh, yes! And taken by Jackson in the end zone for a touchdown.
Geronimo
and was grabbed
Allison.
By Geronimo Allison. Josh Jackson, the rookie, recovers in the end zone in a Lambeau leap to the north end zone stands. The Packers have a 6-0 lead.
Befford on third down and three in the shotgun. Packers showing a blitz, and here they come. Befford looking, hit as he throws it, deep down the right sideline, and it is intercepted on the play. Spectacular interception by Kevin King at the 9-yard line of Green Bay. Snap to Rodgers, looking right. Throws the right side, St. Brown makes the catch, and St. Brown out! Oh, he reached back to gather it in, using all 6'5 of his frame. Tumbled out of bounds, inside the 30 of the 28-yard line. Hunter Bradley the snap, J.K. Scott down on one knee, arm extended. Here it is, placement made, kick is up. It is good!
Yes!
Mason Crosby delivers the dagger! One week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight. Third and five, 13-yard line of Atlanta. Snap, Ryan looks right, throws right side.
Intercepted to the house, Bishop Freeland. Touchdown, Green Bay Packers.
19-yard interception return, and it's 16-7 Packers. Rodgers looks it over. Takes the snap. Blitz on. They pick it up. Lost
they
the right side.
They got him.
10-5. End zone. Touchdown. Touchdown. Marquez Valdes-Scantling. 40-yard. Single back offense behind Aaron Rodgers, who ducks it under center. From the 29 of Green Bay, and here's the handoff up the middle. Big haul. Straight ahead. It is Aaron Jones. Off to the races. To the 20. To the 15. To the 10. Down the left sidelines. And he's out of bounds. Inside the 10 of the 5-yard line of Miami. Aaron Jones with a burst, 67 yards. Third and six, trailing 30-23, 2 minutes straight up to go in the game. San Francisco showing a blitz through the A-gap, and here they come. Rodgers looking, throws left side of the end zone.
Yes! Touchdown! Yes! Devontae Adams, left corner of the end zone from Aaron Rodgers.
16-yard touchdown pass. The Packers an extra point away from getting this game tied.